Unit 6, Part 2, Development of 4R Skills, Listening, Section A, Listening Comprehension, Task 1. Now listen to a news item and answer question 1.
Teachers of English may hesitate to teach debate because they think it is beyond their students' language ability or proficiency. But debate can be a powerful tool. It can help students learn to speak naturally and to listen carefully. Professor Charles Labor teaches English and debate in Japan. He wrote Discover Debate with Michael Labutsky. The book helps English teachers and learners understand how to carry on a simple debate. The Discover Debate approach has 3 stages. Creating a visual aid to communicate an argument, presenting the argument, and answering the other team's argument. Each stage puts increasing demands on language ability. It begins with a pre-debate experience.
Now listen to the item again and answer question 2. Now listen to the item again and answer question 3.
Task 2. Now listen to a news item and answer question 4. We all scream for water when thirsty. But do you know that in very hot, dry weather, plants also make faint sounds as if they are crying out for help? You see, in a plant siren, there are hundreds of water pipes that bring water and minerals from the soil all the way up to the leaves. As the ground turns dry, it becomes harder and harder for the plants to do this. In severe droughts, plants have to fight to pull out any water available. Scientist Robert Winter has found out that when the ground is really bad, plants' water pipes snap from tension like rubber bands. And when that happens, the whole plant vibrates a little. The snapping pipes make noises 10,000 times quieter than a whistle. Robert knows that healthy, well-watered plants are quiet. He also knows that many insects prefer attacking dry plants rather than healthy plants. How do insects know which are healthy plants and which are not? Robert thinks that insects may listen for the plants that cry, and then they buzz in to kill. To test his theory, Robert is using a device that can imitate plant cries. He attaches it to a quiet, healthy plant. Then he watches insects to see if they attack the plant more often than usual. If he is right, scientists could use the insect's ability against them. They could build traps that imitate crying plants, so when the insects buzz in to eat, they won't buzz out. Now listen to the item again and answer question 5. Now listen to the item again and answer question 6.
Task 3. Now listen to a news item and answer question 7.
Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi is in China for a state visit, expected to further boost diplomatic and economic ties between the two Asian giants. Prime Minister Modi, who is making his first visit to China since being elected last year, arrived early Thursday in Xi'an, the capital of Shaanxi Province and the hometown of Chinese President Xi Jinping. In what is being seen as a gesture of goodwill, President Xi is traveling to Xi'an to welcome Mr. Modi later Thursday. It is unusual for Chinese leaders to meet visiting heads of state outside of the capital, Beijing. The visit comes months after Mr. Modi hosted Mr. Xi at his hometown of Ahmedabad for a state visit, during which both leaders exuded a notable degree of personal warmth, which both sides hope translates into further economic cooperation. The two leaders are expected during the visit to sign $10 billion in economic deals, according to the Chinese state-run Global Times newspaper.
Now listen to the item again and answer question 8. Now listen to the item again and answer question 9.
Task 4. Now listen to a passage twice and answer questions 10 to 12.
Deep Springs is an American college. It is an unusual college. It is high in the White Mountains in California, not in a college town. The campus is a collection of old buildings with no beautiful classrooms. The only college-like thing about Deep Springs is its library. Students can study from the 17,000 books 24 hours a day. The library is never crowded as there are only 24 well-qualified male students at the college. In addition, there are only 5 full-time professors. These teachers believe in the idea of this college. They need to believe in it. They do not get much money. In fact, their salaries are only about $9,000 a year, plus room and meals. The school gives the young teachers as well as the students something more important than money. "There is no place like Deep Springs," says a second-year student from New York State. "Most colleges today are much the same, but Deep Springs is not afraid to be different." He says that students at his college are in a situation quite unlike in the other school. Students are there to learn, and they cannot run away from problems. There is no place to escape to. At most colleges, students can close their book and go to a film. They can go out to restaurants or to parties. Deep Springs students have completely different alternatives. They can talk to each other or to their teachers. Another possible activity is to go to the library to study. They might decide to do some work. The student who doesn't want to do any of these activities can go for a walk in the desert. Deep Springs is far from the world of restaurants and cinemas. There is not even a television set on campus. Section B, Listening-Based Integrated Tasks.
So, first and foremost, thank you so much for being here. What a fascinating adventure you've been on for the last month or so with this book tour. It's been amazing. Your premise is interesting. You really want to start this off by saying, "I'm proving that Chinese parenting is better than Western parenting." Right, and I try to raise my 2 daughters the same way that my own strict Chinese immigrant parents raise me, because I adore my parents. I feel like I owe everything to them. And the book is supposed to be funny, because I started off confidently. My first daughter was an easy kid. You know what? I thought what's wrong with everybody. But then my second daughter came along, and she's a real fireball. And the book is in some way about all our showdowns all the way through. And in the end, she did rebel, and I did have to pull back, although not entirely, not at all, not entirely exactly. So what did you learn through this entire process? What was like that enlightening moment for you to kind of go through this? Did you prove your premise? Not necessarily. Yeah, I did prove my premise exactly, but I would do it all again with some minor adjustments. I think the big lesson for me is I still think I was right to restrict my kids' choices when they were very young in many ways. But I think I learned that as they get older, I had to give them more space and more choices. So we're still under negotiations. Some of the interesting points you talked about, though, is you're talking about giving them choices, but you did not necessarily allow them to do that. You said you will play the piano, you will get straight, and there are a lot of demands on that side of it. Looking back, do you have any regrets to that tough approach to parenting early on? Not really. Maybe it's partly autobiographical, but I'm not saying it's for everybody. But I really believe that high expectations for your children coupled with love. I mean, that comes first, unconditional love that you can convey that you love them. I think that builds confidence. Right. I wish we could talk about this for a half hour. Thank you so much, Amy. Appreciate it.